Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Get down! Jarrett Payton.
I hear my name again, and I'm like, who's calling me? So I look back at the people working, and it's not them. It's this guy that's sitting down right by the door, and he goes, Jarrett, man, I love you on The Score, man. It's so awesome. I was like, I'm going to be on at 9 o'clock. Tune in.
The Son of Sweetness.
One man, one career, one team for 200.
Walter Payton, 13 seasons for these. Deanna.
Who are the Chicago Bears?
The Bears, yes.
Sports anchor for WGN, former running back great.
Payton again, already two touchdowns. There it is. There's the touchdown. The Jarrett Payton Show today.
Jarrett Payton with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Like all our guests, Jarrett Payton brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Jarrett, good morning. Wow. Good morning. May you live in interesting times.
Good morning, fellas. I mean, what a time to be alive as a Bears fan right now. I mean, I was yesterday, I kind of heard that this was coming. I knew it wasn't going to happen yesterday, but I overheard some news that it was going to happen today. I didn't know it was going to happen early this morning that Shane Waldron was going to be relieved of his duties, but it was not a surprise.
Who is Thomas Brown? How well do you know him, and what should we expect?
Don't know him personally. Know he spent some time in Miami for a couple of seasons at the University of Miami. Everything about him, though, just reading up on him. I mean, he under any time that you have a chance to be underneath Sean McVay and that he has your confidence, I think you learned a lot. He's a relationships guy. He's all about figuring out his guys. He's also a former running back as well, and so I think with this new opportunity for him, he is going to take advantage of it. I don't think he's going to overdo it. I listened to you guys a little bit earlier just about, you know, this is the opportunity. You want to show what you can do. I think he understands the task at hand. And I think he is going to simplify this just a little bit more for Caleb Williams and this offense the way that it is. And do the one thing that is definitely going to help out Caleb, which they should have been doing for the whole season, and that's figuring out a way to run the football and be more consistent with the run game.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how they want to spin all of it, right? And the proof is in the pudding. What they actually do come the Packer game will tell us a lot. But man, I mean, Flusi is in a very interesting position. He's now gone through two offensive coordinators, and he's 3 years in, 2.5 years in. Do you get to another year? Does this bail you out? Does this save your career as a head coach? And I'm very curious to see if he takes a step back as a defensive coordinator, because you want all eyes. You want your head coach to know what the heck's going on offense.
I mean, definitely, Mully. It comes down to it. I mean, this is crunch time for Matt Eberflus. He's feeling the heat. You can just tell every single time he gets up at that podium, just the pressure that is on him. And I get that, but that's a part of the job. That's a part of being a head coach in the NFL. A lot of it relies on your shoulders. You got to figure out a way to be the CEO of the organization, and you know you're spread thin a little bit. But when you are also the defensive coordinator and you're calling plays, sometimes you forget what's going on with your surroundings. So to me, it's really about your situational awareness. Can you know what's going on and have your hand in a little bit of everything? But also, for me, it probably would be step back a little bit and change things up. But I believe in my heart, why give up the play calling when that's what saved your job? you know, last season. I think that's hard. And as of what we've seen so far, it's been hard for Matt Eberflus to kind of get out of his own way.
So you are Thomas Brown. You take over play calling duties for an offense that is essentially using backup offensive linemen. You don't get any better up front necessarily. What can you do from a game plan perspective to give yourself a better chance to beat the Packers?
Well, I know I'm going to sound redundant here, Haw, but the way that everything is, I don't know how much he can actually change. I mean, the game plan is, I mean, you can change things up a little bit. I think scale back a little bit. The hardest part is from what we saw from Shane Waldron throughout the last, all season, but even the last few weeks of watching the film, man, it just seems like this offense was truly broken. No rhythm at all. And it's weird because yesterday, you know, I was driving home from St. Louis on Sunday, so I was listening on the radio call, guys. And then yesterday I was sitting down watching most of the game in the morning, and my daughter, who's 8 years old, just started to play flag football. This is her second year playing flag football. There was a throw down the field on the left side of the field to Roma Dunze, and Cole Kmet was in that same area. The ball was overthrown, and my daughter looked at me at 8 years old and says, "Dad, are those two guys supposed to be that close on the same team?" I said, "You know what, girl? You are super smart." Nah, it doesn't look good. And we see that a lot.
Yeah.
The way that this with the play design with Shane Waldron and how he was calling plays, where it would be hard for me if you're telling me, and I don't know if this was being told to Caleb Williams, to not throw interceptions, not throw picks, but you have guys in the same area, so they're tighter throws. Mm-hmm. You don't want to throw picks, but then also everything is so congested on route combinations with, you know, dual routes. It's weird for me. To me, make sure that if you're going to commit to the run game, that your run game and your pass game plays off of your run game. Making sure that things look the exact same. So commit to something, whether it's going to be run inside or outside zone. If Roshan gives you a better opportunity of running inside, and that's what's going to work, but then play off of that run. And I heard Coach Wanstead talking about it. I mean, just seeing what the Patriots did to you on Sunday, try to find a way to mirror that, because Drake May looked very comfortable. They were running outside zone. Next thing you know, Boots coming back around, and you got tight ends crossing the field on over routes, and then next thing you know, boom, you're hitting them and you're getting explosive plays. So not to do all these wide receiver screens, throw those out the window, run the football, play action, take some shots when you get an opportunity. And I think good offensive coordinators find a way to be able to scheme even when you don't have the help up front, a good stable offensive line. I'm not really going to say that. Thomas Brown's been in that situation where he's called offensive play calls, but I'm not asking him out the gate. So to do that, he's just going to have to be smart and take what's given to him and hopefully find a way to collaborate with Caleb Williams as well, because that seemed like there was a disconnect between Caleb Williams and Shane Waldron. And I don't know how you can go and get a number one overall pick and you want to, as we keep talking about this all the time, catering to what he wanted. I mean, you see it in the game where he's got a lot of say-so on what goes on. You can tell by when he's on the football field, right? To me, the Roma Dunze pick, that was to make Caleb feel even more comfortable coming to Chicago. But then you go and get an offensive coordinator who has no real connection with him. Doesn't make sense to me. Does not make sense to me. If you're catering to Caleb Williams' needs, why wasn't there someone there that he felt comfortable with? They missed a step on that one.
There's another story out there, which is, of course, that the Bears have shifted once again. They're looking now at the Michael Reese, according to Crane's Chicago Business. They've got a story saying that the Bears are now eyeballing the Michael Reese vacancy and maybe trying to rework their downtown dome as opposed to Arlington Heights. What was your take on that story?
Well,
what do you think about that? I mean, are you surprised to hear them now? I mean, look, It wasn't going to sell at the museum campus. Molly, it wasn't.
Molly, I'm going to tell you something. You and David something, and then all these listeners out here. I heard you guys talking about this earlier. I could care less right now about a stadium. Means nothing to me at this moment. Figuring out what's going on inside of that locker room in Hallis Hall and up at Hallis Hall is what's most important right now. I could care less where you're playing football, if it's in this new place, if it's in Arlington Heights, if it's at Soldier Field. We got bigger fish to fry right now. I've literally been waiting to say this because I heard you guys. I've been up early listening to you guys, and I was making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for my son and my daughter to go to school, and I'm just like...
Crust on or crust off?
Crust on.
Okay.
Even though my son doesn't eat the crust anymore, he still won't eat it. But I'm like, I'm making these peanut butter jelly sandwiches going, nah, man. I could care less about a stadium. Great news. Figure all that out. But what they need to figure out is what's going on inside of that building. They got to get it right. Because I said it yesterday in my post. If there's anybody that loves this team, this organization, it's me. Who wants to see them succeed, it's me. I want them to be good. I want sustained success. But also, when it comes down to it, who are we as an organization? That's what I posed to everybody. Who are we? Because when I started to think about the things that we go back on our history and the tradition and the passion in this city, we always go back to 85. You can throw in 06. And when you look at those teams and what they were built on, it was built on a defense that was... Both defenses were good, and an offensive line and a run game that could take over the game and run the ball down your throat when you need to. And I said, it's not rocket science. We are not living up to the standard of what came before us. And then I was talking to my buddies on the phone, and I said, this isn't us. And then I had to check myself and say, what do you mean, Jarrett? This is not us. This is who we've been for over the year. This is who we've been. We have to find a way to be able to change the narrative, and that is on the football field. You have to find a way. This division is getting better. We were supposed to dominate and take over the North, and we haven't. We're still far from that. And so the stadium talk is all good. I'm going to leave that up to Kevin Warren to figure out. Figure that part out if you want to, but we also have to figure out what's going on inside that building and get it right so this organization can be where we all hoped it was going to be before the season started. Before the season started, we were all talking about this team as we were like, man, the moves made, we are going to the playoff. It's a playoff team. Look how far we have gotten from that. Now we're just talking about, can we find a way to win, get a win, or maybe two wins on the back end of this schedule, which we all knew was going to be tough. So as much as the stadium talk is out there, and I'll have to talk about it on WGN at some point today, to me, it's what's not important. What's important is fixing what we need to fix with our football team.
Great stuff, Jarrett.
Thanks,
appreciate
Jarrett.
The time.
Appreciate it, man.
Good stuff.
Appreciate you guys.
That is Jarrett Payton. And we're going to get to your phone calls, 312-644-6767. We got a lot of people lined up.
Nonetheless, the Bears are reconsidering the Michael Reese site for a new stadium. And that is news. That is Crane Chicago reporting this morning. Be curious to see where that goes. Molly, before we get to the phone calls, there are two recent examples. You mentioned Mark Trestman.
Yep.
The Baltimore Ravens in 2016.
Okay.
They fired him 6 games into the season. They were 3-3 as offensive coordinator. They hired your guy, Marty Morningweg. He's your guy, right?
Yeah, I love Marty.
They finished 5-5. They finished 8-8 that season. So that was maybe running in place. Last year, and I don't think the Bears are the Buffalo Bills, but last year, about a year ago, November 14th, 2023, the Bills, 5-5, fired Ken Dorsey.
Oh, you're right.
They hired Joe Brady. They finished 6-1. That worked. That was a good move by Sean McDermott. They did have Josh Allen as a quarterback. They did have a playoff roster.
And he's still the head coach. That's right. Of course.
Job saver?
So is John Harbaugh.
Well, John Harbaugh has a Super Bowl ring.
That's right.
Right. That helps.
Yeah, I do really like Marty Mornhuig. I had a really fun time with him at the Senior Bowl.
I remember that. Yeah. I know. That's why I said
we went
your
out
guy.
On the town. Yeah. No, I met him at a thing, and we started talking, and he was like, he reminded me of a Southsider, and that's a high compliment.
It's a big compliment. But those are two examples. There may be more. I'm sure there are. But those are things that, in one case, it did make a huge dent. In the other, it made a big impact.
All right, let's get to the phone lines. We'll start with Keith. He's in Shorewood. Hey, Keith.
Hey, guys. Before I make my point, I want to go back to the Fleurio segment.
Yep.
I think I only agreed with a tenth of what he said, quite frankly, and I think I could hear it in your voices. You guys were trying to be a little reserved. The only thing I did agree with is he did say that the Bears probably put the narrative out too much. But the fact is, the response should have been, they actually exceeded that expectation in the big first half of the season. Why this happened today is because the last three games were winnable games, and well documented, you know, on all the shows as far as why those didn't happen. So I'm not going to go back and try to revise history again. But he got fired for that reason, because they were in a position, should have been in a position, should right now be at minimally 7 wins. That's right. Why he got fired.
They haven't scored a touchdown in a couple of games. That's going to get you fired.
So my point now is, this move is not for this season. And this is my opinion, obviously. I think this move is towards Caleb Williams' future, making sure that he goes back on track to be in, you know, in his progression goes back to where it should be, given what his talent level is and what everybody agrees his talent level is. And I think it's a move towards the future, regardless of what happens to Flus. If Flus gets fired next year, he doesn't. I mean, I know the players love him, but you guys said it earlier, this is a results-oriented thing. And if you listen to the passion from Peyton just a couple minutes ago, you know, I think we all feel that same way. It's all about the results. I don't care about if Flus is a good guy or not. I care about can he manage a team, manage his staff, and manage this organization to get to what Peyton just mentioned, be a sustainable team that could win year after year, or at least have the chance to win after year. Because quite frankly, you know, I'm 63, 64 years old now, and I'm really tired, like most fans, of where we're at. This should not be going on in a major market where they do have the ability to go and get the players they want. And last point, and I'll go. The reason why this season's gone is nothing's going to change with that offensive line being hurt the way it is. You know, they're going to have to make whatever they're going to do play calling to try to, you know, work around that. They're going to have to do that. Nothing's going to change when you lost your run stopper in the middle of the defensive line. They're still going to get run on now. That's why last week when I called in, I told you I was betting the Pats. I did, and I won. So, you know, because I knew they were going to run on them, and it was easy. They ran first. What was it, 5 yards every first down, and pretty much set up every play after that. And that's what the Bears need to get to. And that's all I got. You guys
Thanks,
have a great Keith.
Day. Thanks, Keith. A lot Appreciate of good points it. In yeah. there. I would disagree with one of them. I do think this move is all about this season. I think it's all about trying to salvage this season. I'm not saying that is a justification or think it's going to happen. I'm not making a prediction, but this is a move by a desperate head coach who feels the sense of urgency and understands that his job is in peril.
Caleb Williams is entering the second half of his first season. He's already had two offensive coordinators. If things go well, he'll have three starting in his second season with the Bears. Three in 1 year, and then he'll have a third one before he starts.
Less than ideal.
Listen. This is not the way you plan it out. All right, we got to get to a break. 312-644-6767 is the number. We're going to get to everyone's phone call. We'll do that next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Very interesting stuff. You know how I feel about Sean McVay. And
well, then you should be really happy about this appointment.
Well, I
He's a stud.
Well, he is a stud. But, I mean, he's also, I would guess, David, if he one time maybe saw a certain former assistant putting in his PIN code, he still remembers it.
He remembers that.
He remembers the guy's social security number because he saw it on a form once. You know, McVay remembers all.
Be a great thief.
Yes.
Be a great cyber thief, wouldn't he?
He knows it all.
He knows it all. He remembers things. He's got a photographic memory. Well, let's hope that Thomas Brown learned something from being around Sean McVay. That was the hope I think the Carolina Panthers had when they hired him as their offensive coordinator. And he brings that knowledge and that frame of reference to Chicago now to call the plays for the Bears. He was elevated this morning. Shane Waldron was fired. Matt Eberflus, in a statement, announced what we were waiting for yesterday. I'm not sure why it took until this morning. Matt Eberflus does not meet the media on Tuesdays. Is it as simple as that? Did not want to have to answer questions until he had to answer questions. I don't know. Doesn't matter. They made the move. Now you wonder what effect it will have. Can they, in their minds, save the season? Will it have any impact? Does it give them a better chance to beat the Packers?
All right. We got a lot of people who want to check in. We'll start with Marcus. He's in Chicago. Hey, Marcus.
Quick statement, man. Whether it's Arlington Heights, the South Slide, or wherever else, man, nobody's going to see the Bears score 3 points, man. And another point was that if Kevin Warren wanted to pitch the city about the new facility, maybe he shouldn't just mention the John, man. Maybe he should have mentioned something else a little bit better. And I hope you all have a great day, bro. Thanks.
Thanks, buddy.
What was he saying about the last point? What was it in reference to? If he wanted to pitch the stadium?
Yeah, to the city.
Well, that is the other big news this morning. The Bears reconsidering the Michael Reese site for a new stadium.
Don't get me started.
You sense that will be a little bit more well-received only because it could potentially have more private investment.
Right, exactly.
The Loop Capital CEO, Jim Reynolds, is involved, we think, according to the Crane story. The financial structure is still unknown, but it would ideally and maybe logically include less public subsidizing of it. And it has bold ambition. It includes a hotel, entertainment district, and all kinds of things on the Michael Reese development site.
Let's try Mike. He's in Peoria. Hey, Mike.
Boys, how you doing this morning?
Good.
See, let's be real here. Mm-hmm. You know, we came in with Florio preaching expectations of what the season was going to be. Yes, we had high expectations. However, the move that was made today was not based on the expectation. If the Bears would have gone out the last three games and lost 27-24, 35-28, where there's hope of gain, this move doesn't get made. Right now, this move is made because our offense is broken. You have Caleb Williams. I'm screaming at the TV, get rid of the ball. You have 3 seconds. Get rid of the ball. Why is it that our offensive coordinator did not see that? Sit him down and say, don't change the play. Throw the ball. You've got 3 seconds. Get it out. Our offensive line is hurting. It is about what you see right now, not about the expectations from the beginning of the year. Nobody really had Super Bowl expectations. Yeah, playoffs. But it's how we're losing the game. We're losing the game by not even participating. I'm out.
Mike, I think it's a good phone call. Thanks for making it. I think you saw from Shane Waldron some real bad decision-making.
Oh.
Some terrible flawed logic.
Yeah.
Whether it was handing the ball to Doug Kramer or running the option and fourth and goal against the Colts. Those are just two egregious examples. The other things were the route trees and the scheme for the passing game never really seemed to make sense. And this is a change that needed to be made. It's the NFL. It's not always fair. It's not for long, and it can be cutthroat.
Okay, so if you knew this was coming, if you made this decision, let's go back to the first question we asked this morning.
Okay.
Why did Matt Eberflus talk about change and adjustment but declined to reveal any? Now that you look at it and see what he's done, why do you think he waited?
My sense is something that Dustin alluded to way back at 6 o'clock. I think it had to do more with professional courtesy than as much as anything. Yep. You give somebody that you brought into the organization, he picked up his life and moved to Chicago. You don't have to feel sorry for the guy. He's going to get paid well to leave. His severance package will be healthy. But I think that probably Matt Eberflus wanted to make sure everything was taken care of by Shane Waldron before he announced it to the public, and everything was fine with this, the separation package, if you will. Does that make sense?
I mean, I can't imagine another reason. And I mean, that's a nice guy move. That's good. The problem is it doesn't gain you any of the credibility that you kind of...
I agree with that. You know how I feel about the credibility and the public way you want to project yourself as a leader.
Exactly.
The definition of leadership was hard to find yesterday.
Yes.
It was vague intentionally.
Yes.
But Mully, also a complicating factor. If you are going to extend a professional courtesy to Shane Waldron, who you brought here, you're doing so because you care about relationships. You care about the relationship between you and your own representative, who happens to be Shane Waldron's representative.
See, that shouldn't influence who you hire.
But doesn't that,
or how you fire a
but
guy.
But doesn't, don't you think that I had to factor
it.
In?
I understand it.
It did factor, had to factor
in. Oh, I'm sure it did. I'm just saying that it could have been handled differently. You could have already concluded that you were going to do this. I mean, again, this isn't 1 week where you decided to fire a guy. This was it's like, you know, the old how do you go bankrupt very slowly all at once.
Yeah.
And that is exactly how this guy got fired. And you could have Sunday night made the phone calls, told everybody what you were doing, had it all arranged, had him come in, and by noon on Monday, you could have everything cleared out.
That's the way it should have been done.
Handled,
and the way it should have been handled.
And then been able to announce
it. You would have come across as a more decisive leader that was easy to trust.
Yes.
Now you're wishy-washy and you create all kinds of doubt surrounding you and your performance level. Mully, I think, though, when you go back, you want to play revisionist history.
Yep.
The day after that Matt Eberflus was introduced alongside Ryan Poles, he should have fired his agent because of the conflict of interest. You have the guy, same guy representing the boss and the underling, the GM and the coach.
Well, I mean, the Bears clearly wanted to – there was rumors, if you remember, at the time about – Trace Armstrong becoming the Bears president.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Trace Armstrong has a nice business and doesn't need to be the Bears president.
But he still is.
But he agreed to help them and put these guys together and help them again when it didn't work with Luke Getsy. So by all accounts, Brown is not represented by Trace Armstrong.
So
the pattern, not yet. Never mind the pattern. Joe's in Joliet. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys.
What an answer.
Let's start with Waldron. Obviously, I think that was well-deserved. He was really bad. But I think the thing that, for Thomas Brown, the thing that could save him, and I think I agree with Paul here, is because I think you have 6 divisional games coming up. If you could salvage some of those, I think that's going to help you in the long run. He could cement his name in Bears history this week if he has a great game plan ready to win this week. However, I don't think that's going to happen. I think we both know that.
How many games in a row have they lost to the Green Bay? Is it 11? How bad is the losing streak right now? We know the Flower has never lost a game to the Bears, right? So if what you're saying is accurate, Joe, if he puts together a game plan, wow, I can't believe he ran the ball.
Oh, my gosh. Where'd that play come from?
They ran again.
That was McVay's. I don't know what immediate impact it will have. I don't know if any 8-game impact we'll see. But I do know they had to do something.
No, they
had to. You can't preach about accountability and then cling to the status quo.
And the other thing is, like, in case no one's paying attention, this offense is falling apart around you.
It's
like,
broken.
You know, it's not only broken, but it doesn't look like people get along. It doesn't look – we know what the problems are on the offensive line. We understand that. But the problems would appear to go deeper. There is no chemistry within the unit. We don't see, you tell me, we talked about the great combinations of quarterback and receiver in Bears history. I don't know that we have that many to look back on fondly, but there were some. There were some good combinations. There were guys that have had pretty good seasons. Not like careers. Not you didn't watch that unfold, but this was supposedly the greatest receiving room in the history of the team, right?
And yeah.
And how is that on paper, with your number one overall draft pick?
It's not worked out well.
Yeah.
The right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing.
Yeah.
And you don't see the kind of chemistry that you see with successful tandems. And I don't know that when you have
the right hand is in a fist and the left hand is biting it.
Well, you don't want to bite the hand that feeds you.
That's the problem.
That is the problem.
It's like trying to eat a sandwich and your tongue at the same time. It's not good. Kevin's in Joliet. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning, fellas. Would love to hear your thoughts on this. From my perspective, this has to be the final nail in Eberflus's coffin. There's no way you can allow this guy to pick, which is going to be his third offensive coordinator in 3 years, and not to mention he's on his second defensive coordinator, even though he's calling the plays. That's five coordinators in 3 years. He's obviously shown he has no idea how to build a coaching staff. So I don't know how you can keep him and let him hire another coordinator.
Kevin, I agree with that premise, but I also think that when you look at it from the way and just go with me for a second.
Please.
I'm not saying that.
I'm not even interrupting.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not saying this is my idea, but this is the way I think they're looking at it.
Okay.
We keep talking about he doesn't get a chance to hire a third coordinator. In his mind, he won't have to.
No,
because this will be the move that works. This will be the move that makes everything better. And Thomas Brown will be the offensive coordinator next year for Caleb Williams' second season. Mm. You're not going to go out and hire somebody because Thomas Brown is going to do the job that they're hiring him to do and change and fix the offense. I'm not saying it's going to work. That makes no sense to me because I don't think that the Bears are trending in the right direction. They're going to be, I think there's going to be a lot of changes in the offseason.
Sure.
But in their minds, this is a desperate move to insert a guy that they think they can win with now and maybe later.
I would say that what's the old expression, that Matt Eberflus has 1 foot in the grave and 1 foot on a banana peel. Like, it would look like not the beginning of the end, but pretty much the end. It doesn't look.
You can see it from
like
here.
There's, yes.
You can see it from here.
And I'm not being mean about it. I'm being, that's welcome to the NFL. Now, you know, the guy saved his job a year ago under bizarre circumstances where he was forced to take over the team and he proved his value. Now he's attempting to save his job this time around by doing it in a different way, having another guy take over and change his fate.
It was a desperate move then, and it's a desperate move now.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And they tried to sell it then as proof of great culture. So how are they going to prove their great culture now? It's a really interesting idea.
Dustin just brought in the most depressing list of all the lists he's ever handed us.
This one is a rough one.
Bear play caller since 2005.
You got Ron Turner.
Liked Ron.
Ron's a good man. Yeah. He'd been here in his second tenure.
Yeah.
And that lasted till 2009.
Yes.
Mike Martz.
Not a big fan.
Tell Martz I said.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Mike Tice.
Good guy.
Good man. Good man,
not a
Mike.
Good play caller.
Yes. I probably was mean to him without meaning to be. Mark Trestman.
He grew the men.
He called his own plays.
Yes.
Adam Gase.
Oh, big eyes.
He rolled that job into a new suit and a new job.
And he's been a head coach how many different times? Pretty impressive little run there for
Dow Logans.
I used to call him Doubtful Logans.
Yeah, I forgot your nickname for him, but he was there 16, 17. Matt Nagy called his own plays.
Yeah, until he didn't.
Until Bill Lazor called his plays.
Yeah, that was a problem.
And then that led to Matt Nagy calling his plays, followed by Bill Lazor calling his plays.
Now, there's an indecisive head coach.
That was fun stuff.
Yes.
So you went from Dow Logans to Matt Nagy for a couple of years, then Bill Lazor taking over, and then Matt Nagy taking over the following year, and Bill Lazor having to replace
him. Not exactly Lazor focus.
And then Luke Getsy and Shane Waldron.
Getsy got 2 years.
And we're not done yet.
Wait.
Thomas Brown. Hasn't done it yet.
He hasn't done it yet.
But that, thank you,
He's
Dustin.
He's on the list. Thank you, Dustin.
Thank you, Dustin. I'm sure everyone listening thanks you as well.
Well, I do think that
people. And thank you, Kevin Fishbane, for putting the list together that I copy and pasted in here.
That's why he's Illinois Sports Writer of the Year.
There you go.
But that's why he's the best producer in the business. He knows how to copy and paste.
No doubt about that.
And print. And print.
Why didn't you go back even further? Because you could have gone back to Terry Shea in 2004, John Shoup in 2003, Gary Croton before
there
that.
There he is, Gary Croton. He was going to have that really innovative
Gary Croton. He was going to change the way that we looked at football. He's going to thrill the nation with whatever that formation was.
He will never forget the way he changed everything with the bubble screen.
The bubble screen.
That's it.
If you see DJ Moore run a bubble screen and you curse at your television, blame Gary Croton, the innovator. Goodness sakes, that list is depressing.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's squeeze in Bernie. He's in the western suburbs. Hey, Bernie.
Hey, good morning, guys. Listen, this move had to be done. This is like a body that has cancer. It had to be removed. It had to be. You couldn't expect Eberflus to override every play call this guy's making. And so the thing that I'd like to focus on now is, how long is it going to take to fix this offensive line problem? How long should it take?
Well, speaking of removing things, I'd rather have a free bottle in front of me than a prefrontal lobotomy, if that's what you're asking.
It's going to take more than eight games.
Who's coming back when?
Braxton Jones might be back this week, possibly.
That would be nice.
Darnell Wright, probably another couple weeks. Okay. Tevin Jenkins will start the game, but probably won't finish it. And I don't know about the rest of the health status for the offensive lineman.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, mercifully, we've had a great show. I've really enjoyed today. A lot of breaking news, a lot of fun topics. And we now will talk. I believe it's a Layla Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, Layla, Marshall, and Dan.
Yes, we'll talk to them next. Mully and Hall on the Score.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.